Welcome to Sports Mad Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week's most popular post on sportsmedrez.org discussed a study that found that banning headache from youth soccer would likely prevent some concussions. However, reducing player-to-player contact may play a more effective role in preventing concussions as well as other injuries. Soccer was introduced as a safer alternative to youth sports, but soccer-related concussion rates are high among United States high schools. To reduce the risk of concussions in soccer, some are calling for a ban on soccer heading. However, there is little research to support such a ban. Therefore, the authors analyzed data from 2005 to 2014 from the National High School Sports-Related Injury Surveillance Studies High School Reporting Information Online to evaluate trends among girls' and boys' soccer concussions. To 1. Identify injury mechanisms commonly leading to concussions. 2. Delineate soccer-specific activities during which most concussions occur. 3. Detail heading-related soccer concussion mechanisms. And finally, compare concussion symptom patterns by injury mechanism. As part of the injury surveillance system, certified athletic trainers from high schools around the country reported injuries and exposures, meaning playing or practice time per athlete, for soccer concussions. In girls' soccer, 627 concussions were sustained during 1.4 million athletic exposures. In boys' soccer, 442 concussions were sustained over 1.5 million athletic exposures. In both girls' and boys' soccer, competition and practice concussion rates increased over the 9-year period. For girls and boys, player-to-player contact was the most common activity that led to a concussion, responsible for 25% of girls' concussions and 31% of boys' concussions. Rate of concussions resulting from heading increased over time among girls, but not for boys. Contact with another player was the most common mechanism of injury in heading-related concussion among girls and boys. Symptom resolution time was shorter when the athlete sustained a concussion during player-to-player contact compared with contact with a playing apparatus. There was no differences in return to play time through mechanisms. This study is important because it answered the question, during what soccer-related activity do concussions most commonly occur, and concluded that, consistent with previous reports, heading is the activity with the highest proportion of concussions in boys and girls soccer. However, the most frequent concussion mechanism is with player-to-player contact. This suggests that it may be the player-to-player contact and not the ball striking the head that increases concussion opportunities. Limiting player-to-player contact instead of eliminating heading may be more beneficial in preventing concussions. Medical personnel, coaches, and referees should be aware that most concussions are resulting from player-to-player contact and not just from ball striking the head. Therefore, rules may need to be augmented or enforced to limit player-to-player contact. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a study in which the authors found that self-reported previous knee injury and impaired knee function, as well as lower quality of life, increase the risk of future time-lost knee injuries in adolescent female soccer. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.